There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Hitting the news you might have missed, it's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, let's start with your Turtles. How about a game for Derek Queen last night? First player since Joe Smith to have a 2020 game for the Terps. 22 points, 20 rebounds. Not bad for the five-star in his debut.
I mean, it was like he had a double-double with still like 5 minutes to go in the first half last night. The game, by the way, as all Maryland games, football and basketball, right here on the Team 980. I was listening to Johnny, Naki, and Walt because I was out and about a little bit during the game. But yeah, that's one hell of a debut. For those of you that don't know, Derek Queen, a five-star, played in Baltimore, then went to Florida and played for a few years at Montverde Prep. First five-star guy they've had since, I think, since Jalen Smith. Was he five-star? I think that's the last. Diamond Stone, maybe the last five-star?
Yeah, Diamond Stone was definitely a five-star, and then the guard from PVI, I think, was a high four-star.
Deshaun Harris-Smith. Yeah. But Derek Queen, 22 points, 20 rebounds in 27 minutes. So I watched him. He's everything that Kevin Willard told us when he was on with us last week. He is a basketball player. You know, he's not an overpowering physical presence. He's not overly, you know, freakish athletically. He plays the game with great feel, with great IQ. He only had one assist, but there were a couple of passes that he made that actually resulted in turnovers. But you could just see he sees it. And, you know, eventually his teammates will see it. He can operate from the high post. He can operate from the low post. He can catch. He's got great hands. So I'm really excited to watch this guy. I also was impressed with the guy that they signed in the portal from Belmont, Jacoby Gillespie, 6'1", kind of scoring point guard. And then off the bench, I was impressed with Rodney Rice, who's got a really good stroke. So, look, it's early, and these games tend to be games in which you look back and you're like, remember when he played a lot in the early portion of the season? Or remember when he couldn't shoot it or didn't even play that much? It's figuring it out. They played a lot of guys last night, and they've got a lot more offensive talent than they did last year. So they got a game, by the way, a week from Friday night at home against Marquette, who is, you know, I think 17th or 18th in the country, and a couple of, you know, Mount St. Mary's and somebody else before that. But different Maryland team this year, and a team with a lot more potential offensively, and a really good debut from a guy who looks like a star in the making in Derek Queen.
A Marquette game should be fun. You gonna be there?
Yeah, I think I'll probably. Yeah, that's a Friday night. I think there's a good chance I'll go to that game.
Speaking of college basketball, future Wizards star Cooper Flagg had a nice debut as well. 18.7 rebounds and 5 assists for the 2025 Wizards number 1 overall pick.
You know, people have pointed out to me, and I think they're 100% right, because I have said that the 2025 NBA, you know, draft is about a transcendent, once-in-a-lifetime kind of a player. You know, we've had some of those in recent years, and Cooper Flagg is, you know, supposed to be that kind of a player. But there are other players who are thought to be real difference makers and may even push Flag by the time we get there. The kid from Rutgers, Ace Bailey, people say in any other draft would be a consensus number one. The other kid from Rutgers, Dylan Harper, who's more of a shooting guard like his dad was, like his brother was. And then I'm forgetting who the other one is. But a lot of people think Ace Bailey from Rutgers is one of those guys that would have been an absolute given to be a number one pick had Cooper Flagg not been in the draft. But, yeah, the Wizards will be hopefully vying for that. Speaking of the Wizards,
They played hard against Golden State.
That's your line?
They played hard. They played hard. Hey, Draymond said they played hard. You know, Draymond Green said this is the hardest that a Wash team has played in forever.
Did he say that?
He did. He was complimenting Bub Carrington and
love the way he plays.
And Keyshawn George. Not a great
Keyshawn
game
George
for
shot it really well last night.
He did. Jordan Poole at 24. Koulibaly was 3 of 11. Not great, but they lose 125 to 112. Steph had 24 to lead all scores. Him and Poole each had 24. There was no Kuzma in the game for the Wizards, but yes, Alex Saar had 11 rebounds. He had a double-double, so it was a nice performance for Washington.
Saar with three more block shots, too.
Yeah.
Their three first-round picks, Saar went for 10 points, 11 rebounds. George, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. He was 7 of 19 from the floor, 6 of 17 from behind the arc. And then Bub Carrington, 16 points, 7 assists, 8 rebounds in 33 minutes. He is tough and competitive. You know, and then you throw the development of Koulibaly. He's taken already a major step. I mean, I think this is really an exciting player to watch for the next few years. This is what you're watching. You're watching them try to determine whether or not, you know, 2 years worth of drafts and four first rounders, if there are significant contributors to a contending team down the road. And I think the early returns are Koulibaly was a really good pick. And what are we, 6 or 7 games into the season at this point? They were 2-2. Are they 2-5 after last night?
They are 2-4.
2-4 after last night. Saar and Carrington in particular. And then last night, I think it was George's first high volume shooting game. But he's got a great stroke. Yeah, I mean, if you don't mind the losing, and there will be a lot of it, but you're in, but you can offset that with watching, you know, the development of some players that could be significant to a much better team down the road, that's what you're getting. I mean, Saar is a good timing, like, feel defensive player. He's got some great range. He's got good feet defensively. He's long at 7 feet. At the very least, this guy's proven already in 6 games he can be a high-level NBA shot blocker and defender.
And their next game, by the way, it's a couple days. Nobody in the NBA plays tonight due to the election, but it'll be Alex Saar and Zach Edey matching up in Memphis on the 8th. That'll be fun.
Right.
Zach Edey, by the way, I don't know if you saw this last night. He had a block that turned into him shooting a walk-up three.
He's never had a terrible stroke. They just would not let him shoot threes. Has he shot threes? I know he fouled out in his first game in like 12 minutes.
Yeah, which is.
But since then, has he played well?
I think so. And I mean, Memphis is 4-4 right now, so they're 500. They're kind of getting into it. I like Ja Morant still. I probably always will. But I think Zach Edey is having a decent start to his season. He's averaging 11 points a game in just under 20 minutes. So that's pretty decent.
Yeah. All right, what else?
All right, how about this is more of a music story than anything. It happened yesterday, but yesterday was game day. Quincy Jones passed away at 91 years old. I mean, I've loved over the past 24 hours seeing excerpts of interviews that he's done.
Oh.
He was hilariously honest, like to a fault. Father of Rashida Jones, wonderful music producer, absolute legend. So sad to see him pass away, but 91 years, a hell of a life for Quincy Jones.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of, you know, great interviews with Quincy Jones where he just absolutely obliterates some incredible sort of music icons in terms of their true music ability. And then, you know, like the Brothers Johnson, there are certain bands and certain people that he is convinced were true brilliant musicians that I always enjoyed watching him get interviewed. Look, I mean, when you go back to, you know, his relationship with Michael Jackson and you look at some of those albums and you look at Off the Wall, which I still think is Michael Jackson's greatest album. I know other people would say Bad or Thriller. I would say Off the Wall. That 79 album with Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, Rock With You, She's Out of My Life, Off the Wall, Working Day and Night. I'm forgetting a few others that were, I mean, basically everything was a hit off that album. He was just a brilliant visionary. And you can't write the history of sort of music and music production and music sort of identification without talking about Quincy Jones. 91 years old, and like you said, I mean, there are just classic interviews with him. I was listening to an interview, like it was on Spotify a few years ago. It was an interview with Quincy Jones, and it was like late at night, and the dude's just crushing so many incredible musicians. But he told it like he saw it, and had a hell of a life. And we both like his daughter a lot. She's been great in everything she's done. As you said, the father of Rashida Jones. But 91, hell of a run.
Did you ever see the documentary that Rashida Jones did on Quincy Jones?
I did not. I'd love to.
It should be on Netflix. It dropped during the pandemic. So I remember watching it during the pandemic. It was fantastic. It's so, so good. So maybe later this week. Obviously tonight's going to be busy across the nation, but if you get time like later this week, I would highly recommend watching it.
The We Are the World documentary on Netflix was so well done, and I'm forgetting the name of it. Greatest Night in Pop.
Yeah,
exactly. That is so awesome to watch and to see the inner relationships between all of those people, you know, during that incredible night after the American Music Awards, where they, you know, all went to the place, and Michael Jackson's and Quincy Jones, you know, orchestrated that entire night. I would recommend anybody that has any sort of interest in music. That was a great documentary. That was well done. Really well done.
Really well done. And he blasts Cyndi Lauper in it, too, which is hilarious.
Well, but she ended up being such a significant figure. Remember, like, Dylan was the weirdo, which is not a shocker, but he was like, I think she was very much came off as like this surprise contributor who was poised, who delivered. And,
oh, that
you know,
is
they
not
were
what
sitting there trying
after.
To get Dylan to deliver, and the guy basically was having panic attacks.
Yeah, Dylan
and of course,
had panic
that night
attacks.
Was all based on whether or not Prince would show up, which he didn't. And so they brought Sheila E. in hopes that with her there, Prince would show up. But no, he didn't show up.
Well, he blasted Cyndi Lauper after it.
Yeah, but the Netflix show, she actually in that group because she was brand new to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a time in which, I mean, her first album probably is just out. She's probably she's that year, I'm going to guess, like the wins the award for the best newcomer. I'm going to guess, but she kind of delivered when she was asked to deliver, and they were sitting there dealing with Dylan. Remember the whole thing with Dylan? They had to get him comfortable. The guy was like having anxiety
right.
over being in front of all those people. Crazy. What else do you have?
So I do want to get to some of the trades, but just a little bit of an update. This does not get the full breaking news sounder, but Jonathan Jones of CBS said that Marshawn Lattimore in Washington is building some sort of steam. So take that for however you would like, but there is some sort of real connection between
those
two.
I trust in Adam Peters. I really do right now. There's no reason for us not to. You know, my guy Kevin in Arlington sent me this text, and he just said, you know, look for Adam Peters maybe to, you know, acquire more draft capital. Okay, but again, that doesn't address this opportunity. I'm with you 7 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. We're 9 weeks into the season. This team is 7-2, and one of those losses was the opener, you know, which is, who knows? Like, they haven't been stopped by anybody. And if you're looking at the NFC, and I mentioned this to Mike Jones last hour, if you're looking at the NFC and you believe that Detroit is a true number one overall in the NFC, what will be the way to beat Detroit? Do you think you're really going to stop them? No. You're going to have to outscore them. And Washington's one of the few teams in the NFC that would be able to keep pace. Look, Minnesota kept pace with them. Minnesota, well, they had a pick six off at the end of that game that gave them the lead. And then Detroit went down and kicked a game-winning field goal in the final play of the game. But 31-29 was the score in that game. What's the one game that Detroit lost? Oh, that's right. They lost to Tampa in week two at home.
Yeah, that was a low-scoring game. That was like 20-16,
yeah.
Right?
How about Bowles? Bowles is the only guy that's been able to slow them down. I mean, you look at the point total. Like, the point total in Green Bay is completely misleading. They were dominant in that football game. They didn't need really a lot in that game. Yeah, I think you're going to have to outscore them. Washington can do that with what they have. So why Sheehan, then, do you want a defensive player? Well, you do have to get a couple of key stops. That really may be the difference when you get to the postseason for Washington and their head-to-head matchups with teams that might be favored over them. You're going to know that you're capable offensively, and you're just going to need a couple of plays defensively to have a chance. You know, they just haven't. They couldn't get a stop against Baltimore, you know, after that interception early. And yeah, that's what they're going to need. I mean, look, they've proven they can win games without stopping people. They beat Cincinnati without stopping them. For all intents and purposes, they swept the Giants twice without really stopping them. Okay. Marshawn Lattimore. When we come back, Dan Quinn said something yesterday that I will take exception to. It's hard to take exception to anything he's saying right now because he is very convincing with great reasons for his sides. But he said something yesterday that I think is a bit of a reach. I will talk about that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
We'll get back to Marshawn Lattimore here in a moment. Denton says there's some buzz out there. Lattimore to Washington potentially before the trade deadline. We talked about him last hour. This would be, from a player standpoint, a home run. You just have to make sure he's healthy because he's had injuries in recent years, and he's been injured this year. He's had some hamstring injuries this year. So Dan Quinn held his Monday presser yesterday, and there was a question, I think, from Sam Fortier, asking him about sort of the issues with run defense. Here's what he said.
Dan, what did you see from the run defense on tape, and how can you guys improve in that area?
Yeah, I thought, number one, I thought the quarterback runs of him being able to circle the defense, Sam, was a big deal, and one of them may have been a 24 yards or significant explosive run. And then past that, I didn't feel like the tackling was off base, but the explosive ones are the ones that can really change the course of the game. And we had one against Chicago, and then the explosive run from yesterday. And you don't get to say, except for this and this, you know, it was on point. So I think more than anything, you know, making sure whatever the look is, whatever the run is, that you're able to nail that piece down. And so that's where I thought, you know, we missed the mark in this game.
Yeah, so this is, you know, I love Dan Quinn. I mean, I truly have really enjoyed, since the season began, listening to him talk ball, and he does it with the beat reporters multiple times a week. I think there is a lot of learning. I think there's also a lot held back, which I also appreciate. I think that answer, you know, is an answer that implies that if not for, you know, the big Daniel Jones read option keeper on their second drive for 24 yards, that they were actually pretty good against the run. And that's not true. That, you know, a week ago, if not for DeAndre Swift's 56-yard run, we were really good against the run. That's closer to truth, but not completely true. The bottom line against the Giants is, in the first half, they gave up 142 yards on 21 carries, 6.8 yards per carry. And the 24-yard run was the biggest run of the half. But they also gave up six runs of 10 yards or more. They gave up two 10-yard runs. They gave up two 11-yard runs. They gave up a 12-yard run, and they gave up a 15-yard run. They also, in the game, gave up two 6-yard runs and three 5-yard runs. They were horrendous against the run against the Giants. There's no other way to describe it. They could not stop the Giants from running the football in the first half. And then the Giants adjusted and said, they're going to try to sell out to stop the run, so we'll throw over the top and we'll throw the football. And even with pressure, Daniel Jones threw for 174 yards in the second half, and they did not get stopped. They drove the ball three times, three possessions in the second half, and they generated 17 points off of three possessions. Yes, there was a fourth down conversion that should not have been, but they were still moving the ball to get into that position. You know, so they got an issue stopping the run. You know, you even go back to DeAndre Swift's 56-yard run in the fourth quarter. They gave up 200 yards in the fourth quarter last week against a Bears team that's not great offensively. But even when you take that one out, because they had 202 yards rushing, and yes, 40-something of it were from Caleb Williams scrambling, but they still rushed for 4.5 yards per carry, even if you take that one carry out. You take the one Daniel Jones carry out, and they still rush for 4.7 yards per carry. They've got a run-stopping problem, period. You know, I agree with him. Tackling isn't really the issue. Hustle certainly isn't the issue. This is a team that is playing with full, you know, 100% relentless motor. Love that about them. And I think, by the way, it's masking even more issues that they may have defensively in terms of personnel. But that 24-yard run, yeah, no, they still, you know, they still rush for, you know, in the first half, you take the 24-yard run out, still 118 yards on 20 carries. You know, that's, we're talking about, you know, almost 6 yards a carry, even without that 24-yard run. You give up seven total rushing plays of 10 yards or more in a half, you got a problem. You can take the 24-yard one out all you want. You still gave up six others of what people refer to as an explosive run, 10 yards or more. And then you gave up a bunch of 6-yarders and 5-yarders and lots of 4-yarders too. You know, good run-stopping teams are not giving up, you know, 5.5 yards per carry. And that's what the Giants averaged. You know, Chicago the week before, you know, you don't give up 200 yards in a quarter or in, you know, basically 15 minutes and 43 seconds, because that's when Swift ripped off his run at the end of the third quarter. They're not a good defense. They're not. You know, DVOA-wise, defensively, their rank right now defensively is 26th in the league. They are the 30th ranked rush defense in terms of yards per carry, the 29th ranked rush defense overall. I think that they're not a bad tackling team. I think they've actually generated some decent pass rush pressure, especially in the last 4 or 5 games. I think they play hard. I think they hustle. I think they've got some players that are impressive. But for whatever reason, it's not working against the teams that are more capable. And I wouldn't say the Giants are a super capable offensive team, but they certainly ran the ball the week before against Pittsburgh, and that's a tough team to run the ball against. You know, they've faced, right, in Tracy and Singletary, in, to a certain extent, Swift, Chuba Hubbard, obviously the Baltimore rushing attack. They face some teams that can run the football a little bit, and part of it is the other team's good too, doing what they're trying to do. You know, they get paid as well. But this is not a, you know, a one play. If we can just cut out the one big explosive each week, we're really good. No, they're not. They're not a good run-stopping team right now. They must improve, because their next two games are against teams that are going to try to run the football. You know, Pittsburgh against the Giants in their last game, Najee Harris went for 6 yards a carry. Jaylen Warren went for 5.5 yards per carry. They rushed for 167 against the Giants, and that was without the quarterback being involved. When they beat the Jets on, what was that, Sunday Night Football? Najee Harris, 5 yards a carry. Rushed for 150 yards against the Jets. The week before that, they went out to Vegas and they routed the Raiders. And in that game, Najee Harris rushed for 7.5 yards per carry. 183 yards rushing. Jesus, I didn't even realize Najee Harris is having a season. He's gone in his last 3 games, 14 for 106, 21 for 102, 19 for 114. You don't think they're relying on Harris, who, by the way, is one relentless physical running back? So you got a big test Sunday, and then a bigger test against the Eagles, because what really did hurt them a little bit on Sunday was a dual-threat quarterback approach. You don't get that with Russell Wilson as much as you used to, but maybe they'll put it in a little bit more Sunday, knowing that Washington's vulnerable to that. You know, I mean, Washington's played at this point 2 true dual-threat quarterbacks, right? Daniel Jones and Lamar Jackson. Am I forgetting somebody? I don't think so. And they have been run on in all 3 games to the tune of like 5 yards a carry or more. They're giving up for the season 5.3 yards per carry, I think it is. I looked this up yesterday. So defensively, in terms of their rush defense right now, they are 30th in yards per carry, all right? 31st in yards allowed per carry at 5.1. Only the Giants are worse. And in yards per game, they are 29th. DVOA-wise, rush defense, I'll look that up. It's really poor. They're just a bad rush defense team. And, you know, there was a time in the NFL where people would say, if you can't, they're 26th rush defense DVOA. There was a time where people said, if you can't run the football and you can't stop the run, you can't go far in the postseason. I think football's different now. I do. I think there is more margin for error when you are great offensively, which Washington is, especially at the most important position on the field, quarterback. You know, you can afford, as they did in Cincinnati and even against the Giants twice, to not get off the field a whole hell of a lot but still win games. You can do that, but you're playing with fire when you got to win three to get to the Super Bowl if you can't stop the run. And by the way, the Lions can run the football. The 49ers can run the football. The Packers can run the football. The Eagles can run the football. Minnesota can run the football. Who else am I, you know, Atlanta can run the football. Everybody in the NFC that looks like they're going to be in the postseason can run the football. And so you can outscore those teams. You can do it because they've already proven that. But can you do it for three straight games? I don't know. The way to beat Washington, it's really simple. Run the football, possess the football, and keep number five on the sidelines. And there are teams out there that can do that. So you're going to have to get two, three key plays defensively to beat a really good team. At least three times in a row. All right, Marshawn Lattimore, trade deadline. We'll finish it up with what we started with. We'll give you a chance, especially all of those that we didn't get to. If you want to weigh in, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Will they make a trade by 4 p.m. today? Should they make a trade by 4 p.m. today? And if so, for whom or to whom? Who would they be giving up? We'll take your calls on that next and talk a little bit about Marshawn Lattimore in more detail. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. All right, so what exactly are you hearing with respect to Marshawn Lattimore?
So Jonathan Jones of CBS said that Washington is among the teams that are interested in Marshawn Lattimore, and then Adam Schefter was on McAfee, and he said more of the same. He said they're competing with three other teams. We know that one of those is the Kansas City Chiefs. I believe another one is the Detroit Lions, and then there's a third team in there that I'm not aware of, but it's those three, Washington, Kansas City, and Detroit, that seem to be the most interested in Marshawn Lattimore.
All right, so here's the deal on Marshawn Lattimore. He's a really good cornerback, and he has been. He's also, by the way, a guy that, you know, Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown are going to be able to speak about with Adam Peters. Not that Adam Peters isn't going to know a lot about Marshawn Lattimore, but I'm pretty sure, you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I think Lattimore and Terry played together. Maybe Noah Brown as well. He's been just an outstanding corner. The biggest concern you have to have about Marshawn Lattimore is his health. He just continually gets injured. It just seems like the guy's always got something. Here's his injury history. You know, this year alone, hamstring week 9 out, hamstring impacted week 7. You know, so he's got a hamstring injury that he's dealing with this year. He also had a hip injury in week 2 this year and was questionable. Ankle last year, abdomen last year, lots of abdomen issues going back through 2022. Hand, knee, hamstring back in 2020. The guy played 10 games out of 17 last year. He played 7 in 2022 out of 17. He's only played in one. He's only played one season where he's played the entire season, and that was the second year in the league when he was the defensive rookie of the year, and he's been a 4-time Pro Bowler. So that would be an issue. Him playing on the field healthy, he becomes easily the best corner you've had in a long time. And you've got to find a corner here before 4 p.m. You know, at the very least, somebody that can play so that you're not down to basically three corners. Because it seems like they don't want to play Emmanuel Forbes right now. It seems like they don't want to play Michael Davis. It seems like they'd prefer at some point for Sanra still to play in the slot primarily, not on the outside. St. Juice, Lattimore on the outside, Sanra still on the inside. Noah I is your guy who can play in reserve. As long as Lattimore is healthy, great. Contractually, you're in good shape with Lattimore. This is not a rental. You gave me his contract in the last thing, right? How many more years on his deal?
There's a potential out, I believe, in 2026. So he just signed a big-time deal. I think it's a five-year, $97 million, but you can get out of that and restructure in 26.
Yeah, looking at it right now. So you got him, you know, you got him if you want. Actually, the potential out would be 25. He's a big cap hit next year. You could restructure. He's a big cap hit in 25 at $31 million and a $28 million cap hit in 26. You could restructure, extend it. Here's the thing. You've got to be sure on the person. You've got to be really confident that you're going to have him out there enough. He's a difference maker for you on defense for this particular team. I do believe that as long as he's out there. What would it cost? I'm going to guess one of their two third-round picks.
The rumor, according to several different sources, by the way, Ian Rappaport also saying the Commanders are pushing hard for Marshon Lattimore, so that's three of the big guys reporting on this, but some of the speculation is that it's going to cost at least a third-round pick, so you're right in that assumption.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, you've got your own and you got Philly's third-round pick, which right now they're going to be basically comparable third-round picks. It's the third-rounder that they got for Jahan Dotson.
That would be a pretty nuts flip to effectively have traded Jahan Dotson for Marshon Lattimore.
Yes, but you just, you know, the things I talked about are critical, but if the conversation is that Washington, you've got Rappaport, Schefter, and Jonathan Jones from CBS all now reporting that Washington is, you know, at the very least poking around as it relates to Marshon Lattimore. The Saints, man, think about this, Denton. They went from 91 points in the first 2 weeks of the season to a seven-game losing skid and sellers at the trade deadline.
I knew they were fraudulent.
I did not. You were right about that. I mean, they had a lot of injuries, you know, that started to accumulate. Because remember, their first loss was week three in that really intense, low-scoring game against the Eagles. And then they lost at the gun on a 57-yard field goal to the Falcons. And then they actually played, but that then the injuries really derailed their season. I the idea of 23 on the outside is on this team, it's just exactly what they would need. It's not a rental. You just got to be sure about the guy, and you got to be sure about the current injury situation, because you don't want, you know, that third rounder to go to a guy that, you know, over the final nine games plays five of them and then is questionable for your first playoff game. So, certainly an upgrade over everything they have, no doubt. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Will they make a trade before the 4 p.m. deadline? Should they make a trade before the 4 p.m. deadline? It certainly appears as if they've done at least what I was hoping they would do, Denton, and that is understand that they have a situation in 2024 that they probably didn't anticipate and that they are looking to help their team this year advance, win more games in the regular season, and advance further in the postseason. Because remember, there was also a report over the weekend that Washington had inquired about Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I think Jeremy Fowler had that report over the weekend. So they were looking at a receiver before he agreed with, who did he sign with? He was out there. All right, let's get to the phone lines. Let's start with Steve. Steve, will they, should they? Go ahead.
Hey, show, man. Appreciate
it. Hey, thanks, Steve.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, I wouldn't do it. Just based on his number, 5 years, 9-7, and this is going to upgrade.
You're breaking up a little bit. Would you say you wouldn't do it because of his numbers in contract?
I wouldn't do it because of his contract, Kevin, based on, and especially based on his health. I wouldn't do it because, you know, third, a guy who's got a cap hit of $50 million next year. I don't know if it's guaranteed money left on his contract this year or whatever.
Your phone's too bad, Steve, but I got the gist of it. His salary cap hit next year, as currently constructed, would be $31 million. So they would restructure that, even though they've got a lot of cap space, top four cap space in the league next year, which is one of the reasons they could pull this off. To me, it's all about whether or not you think you're going to be able to get Marshawn Lattimore on the field healthy for the biggest games that you're going to play this year, next year, and the year after. You've got to be confident that he is at, you know, that he's going to play in a lot more games than not, and that's not what's happened here in recent years. Let's go to Samaj. Samaj, go ahead.
Good morning, Coach. Thanks for taking my call, Denton.
Sure, Samaj.
Yes, I think Adam should, and I'm not sure if Marcus Lattimore is the one.
Marshawn,
I'm just going to, like you, Kev. I'm sorry, Marshawn. Yeah. I agree with you, Kev. The trust factor and AP is really what it's going to come down to. So far, he's given me no reason to not trust his acumen in what he does. I just know that the best way to go about it is get the help that you can in a risk-reward type of scenario, but don't give up any unnecessary draft stock. I mean, it's a thin line he's going to have to tote to get it
You're
done.
You're not going
to
get a Marshawn Lattimore more likely than not. I mean, you could, but the odds would be against you landing somebody with his level of talent with a third-round pick.
No doubt, but here's the whole hit, as we all know in all of sports. Your number one talent is availability, and that's just questionable at this point, man. Thanks for taking my call. I'm no longer pumping the Wolves. I want the Braves, but I think we're stuck with the Commanders, Kev, because they're going to win under Jaden. Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Thank you, Samaj. This year, when playing, he's allowing a passer rating of just 74.4 in coverage. No interceptions, but he's allowed just one touchdown when targeted over the last three seasons, according to Pro Football Focus. He's going to cost you a third-round pick, one of those two third-round picks. That would be my guess. It'd be great if you got something conditional on that based on games played to kind of cover you, perhaps, for injury, you know, if he doesn't end up playing a lot. But that's the biggest concern. His talent, his production, you have no concern about when he's on the field healthy. He's a number one corner in the NFL, all right? He is a top, you know, he's fully healthy. This guy's a top five, top six, seven cover corner in the NFL. It's just, will he be available to you? Lou, finish it up for us quickly.
Coach, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, Lou.
You know how I feel, Kevin. I why are we wasting the season in that? I thought the whole point was trying to win a Lombardi, so why not be aggressive? I get the whole notion, oh, they want to, you know, look at the future, this and that and third. But to me, I mean, you got to be aggressive. You say we the top five team in the league. And these people about talking about Jaden's not the top 10 quarterback, man, they crazy. He's the reason why we 7-2. So I just don't understand why we wasting this season knowing that we are the top five team. So why not be aggressive, add up a corner, a safety, or a nose tackle or something, man, something that could help you shore up the D-line and you win in the playoff by playing defense. And I love my offense, but I don't think they need –
You used to. Look, I got to run, Lou. I love talking to you all the time. I would say that from my standpoint, because tomorrow we'll be back after the trade deadline, already having a good sense from real credible reporting that Washington is looking at the possibility of aggressive moves. Whether or not they pull them off, you know, I'll trust in their judgment, or whether or not the teams dealing these players maybe had better deals. But I am glad that they didn't do or take the mode which some people were suggesting as recently as 3 or 4 weeks ago. This isn't the year. This is a building block year. Don't give away draft capital. You're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. It'd be nice to win 9 or 10 games and get to the postseason and maybe win a playoff game. No, you got to think about this season much differently than you did before the season, for sure, and even 2 or 3 weeks ago. Chris Russell is coming up next. Doc is going to be with Chris. They're going to have, among several guests, Charles Davis on the show. He's going to be, I think, calling Pittsburgh, Washington with Ian Eagle on Sunday. Is that right, Denton? I think so.
That is correct.
All right. Back tomorrow. We will know then. We'll know about a lot of things. Actually, we probably won't know about that thing. Might take a couple of days, if not a couple of weeks. Thank you, Pennsylvania. Enjoy the rest of the day. Chris and Doc up next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com